It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. We global. BashaniRadio.com. New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also text to give by texting the letters LK and the number 638 to the telephone number 41444, and that's LK638 to the number 41444. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right hand corner, and you can use our online form or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
I'm going to ask if you would stand to your feet, and as you stand to your feet, get your Bibles, please, and turn with me to that hymn book in the Bible, the book of Psalms. And we're going to deal with Psalm 13. And it's these six verses today that I would like for us to read together. Psalm 13. When you have it, say amen. And I will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Psalm 13. Let us read it together. And the word of the Lord reads, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me." Before you sit down, I just want you to say these words for me. Get it out and get over it. Say, get it out and get over it. You may be seated. I'm teaching to myself. Because this passage of scripture has so much packed in it, I'm going to do my best to exegete it and get through it. But if you just look at this, how long, how long, how long, how long? Have you ever asked God, how long? How long, how much longer do I have to deal with a certain situation? How long will it be before you come and rescue me? How long? This psalm here is a psalm of David. And it is believed that this was written during the time when he was being pursued by Saul. And the story goes, David was anointed to be the king, but Saul was yet on the throne, and Saul didn't like David because the people started loving David. He killed people. He killed the giant, and the people started singing, David has killed so many, and so he done killed more than Saul, and Saul didn't like that thing. And Saul was a king. So now you have David who is on the run, and he is here feeling a certain kind of way. And I am so glad today that the Bible speaks and teaches on men and women just like me, who experienced hurt and pain just like me. And God gave us an example through them how we can get through some things. And I said, get it out and get over it, because a lot of times we are wondering, Lord, what am I going to do? And here in this psalm, we have three entities. We have the psalmist, David. We have the enemy that he is running from. But we have the Almighty God who is there. And what's going on here is David, like so many of us, lost sight on God. He saw the enemy and he saw himself. But because he couldn't see God or feel God's presence at that point in time, he felt that he was all alone. How many of us feel like we're all alone sometimes? And we get there and we like, Lord, what's going on here? And I'll put it in perspective. Have you ever been waiting on someone to say, pick you up? I know, like when I was growing up, we have to wait on mom and daddy to come pick us up from a certain place. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. And you just say, they done forgot about me. They done went on to the event and left me here. They ain't even call and tell me they weren't coming. They ain't even call and tell me they forgot about me. No call, no nothing. They didn't get in touch with me. But all of a sudden, they showed up. they showed up. But how were you feeling during that time period where you were waiting and not knowing? That's a hard thing sometimes, isn't it? Waiting and not knowing. And that's what was going on here, because David is dealing with this issue that has put him under a lot of stress. Y'all think y'all stressed at job? Don't raise your hand. Y'all think y'all stressed in life? How about if somebody was trying to kill you every day and you were running from about 7 to 12 years? Do you think you would be stressed? Would you want some deliverance from that? That is the stage in where David is coming from when he says, how long will you forget me, God? And this man is after me. He's trying to kill me. How long will you forget me? Then he even put an answer in there. Forever? he said, if you don't answer me, God, I'm going to answer myself. Are you going, how long you going to forget about me? Forever? Yeah. Then he says, how long will you hide your face from me? All I can think about is Jesus on the cross when he said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I want you to understand this. You're not alone. You just can't see him. You might not feel him, but he's working it out. And see, we talk about the enemy here being Saul chasing after David, but what is the enemy in your life? The enemy could be anything. The enemy that you're dealing with could be, I need employment. The enemy could mean, I need something else. I need God to move in a particular area of my life, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and God seems like he's forgotten about me. But I want to take you over sometimes when you get a chance to read over in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, over in chapter 10, when we had the man of God. He had been praying for something. He had been praying and it had not come through. But then finally, angel showed up. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand," first day you put your request in, "and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard." "And I am come for thy words." I'm coming to give you an answer. You've been waiting on me, but I'm here. I know you thought God had forgotten, but listen at what went on here. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. He got the answer from God, and he was on his way to talk to Daniel. But the devil, the angels, tried to stop him. And he said, it was even so, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Here you have the man of God that prayed for his answers, who was on his way, but the devil tried to block it. So much so that an angel had to get another angel to come and help him out. And he remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come. So after 21 days, what am I saying? Just because your answer is delayed doesn't mean it's denied. So what you got to do is just get it out and get over it. What am I saying? See, here in this scripture, David is getting something off his chest. God knows how you feel. He's getting it off his chest. He's saying, "Look, how long you going to make me wait in this situation?" Because God says, "Come boldly before my throne." I'm not saying come at God any kind of way, but he's getting this thing off his chest because David is now in a state of desperation. He's discouraged. He's doubting, and he's in despair. Does that describe anybody here at any point in time? I'm going to talk to the men here because I want you to understand. I'm so glad this is David, because we as men sometimes feel like we are trapped and we don't have the answers. We may be lost, without a job, without employment, without anything. And we are the head of the house and we're wondering, where am I going to get the answer? And God is saying, "Look to me." And sometimes as men, we feel like there is no hope. We feel like there is no help. And like David in this situation, we feel like there is no God. And we say, "What do we do?" And sometimes, men, if we don't let it out and talk to somebody and get it out, we'll find ourselves in a state of discouragement, doubt, and despair. And we'll feel like there's no way out. And then the devil will say, "Well, just go ahead and take yourself out." But I'm here to tell you today, just get it out. Why am I saying that? Because look at verse 2. He says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" Here David is saying, "How long I got to look inside of myself to find answers, because you won't hear me." But the answer is not inside of us. And that's what happens a lot of times with us men. We try to look inside ourselves for the answer and we're pushed up against the wall and we don't know. But here I'm so glad I have a man who was a soldier who slew giants, here crying out to God. Men, it's all right to cry sometimes. You got to get it out, because if you don't get it out and off your chest, it'll kill you. It'll consume your every thought, your every being. But here we have an example. David didn't know what to do. He said, "Should I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart?" This is real. He's waiting on it. So what is he doing here in verses 1 and 2? He's confessing his despair and his innermost feelings to God. He's getting it out and off his chest. Because if you look at this psalm here, it's going from despair to getting enlightened to rejoicing. All in these 6 verses, you have a man who's in despair, doesn't know what to do, but then he goes through this period in recognizing who God is and what God has done. Then he moves into a state of rejoicing. His situation didn't change, but the way he viewed the situation and the way he viewed his God, who is almighty, changed the way he felt. What am I saying? He got it off his chest. God knows how you feel. God knows what you're going through. But sometimes he want to wait until you get down and out, and then you really cry and call him like you need him. Sometimes we can just ask for stuff because we want it. Mama and them used to say, you just want it because you see it. No, you can't have none of them cookies. But when you got really, really hungry, you begin to say, Mama, we're going to eat. And Mama see that pain on your face. Then Mama said, let me get up and put something on the stove. But when you really got hungry and you cried out, Mama ain't going to let them babies cry long. Is there something else I can use to illustrate that point? Hallelujah. That God, he won't leave you alone. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. I'm just teaching this morning because somebody needs to know that you're waiting on God and you feel like you're alone, but you're not there. And I'm going to show you what you need to do. You see, God can't forget about you. He can't. I'm over in the book of Isaiah, I do believe, chapter 49, verses 14 through 16. And it says, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Oh, Zion was like, God done forgot about me. It kind of seemed like David here. But then the answer comes back and says, can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? God said, yea, they may forget. Oh, Jesus. God said, yea, they may forget. But God turns around and said, yet will I not forget thee. He's saying you're going through some things now like David over there, but I haven't forgot about you. I just want you to get it off your chest. Because when you get it off of you and stop trying to take counsel within yourself, you'll let me do my job. He says, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. But we want to hold on to it and sulk in it. And that's when we become discouraged, in despair. And that's what David did in his heart. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? God, how long you gonna let these people treat me like this? I'm going to church, I'm serving, I'm doing everything that I know to do, but you're letting them get over me. But then David, he done confessed how he felt, got it off his chest. Literally, you ever had to, you know, you've been in a disagreement with somebody and nothing has changed, but when you done got it out, you feel a little bit better. And not that you done told them a piece of your mind or something like that and act indignant, but you got it off. You got it out. Anybody ever had a real good cry? I done had one. A real good cry when you had done cried and let it out. You feel a little lighter. You feel a little better. And see, I think this is what's going on with David. Now, he done got it off his chest. And now in verse 3, he says, Lord, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Oh, he done got it out. Now he began to change his tone a little bit. And now he's saying, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David here now is saying, Lord, I've been looking within myself, but I want you to show me the way. I want you to give me your wisdom and how to move in this thing. Consider me. David now is crying out for the light and the knowledge of God. In the first few verses, he was depending on himself and doubt and struggling and all internal. Now he's beginning to realize and say, it's me, it's the enemy, it's God. I can't do anything by myself. The enemy is coming at me. Let me go and talk to God. Let me go and talk to God, who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and he all these things up here on this wall. Elohim, Nisi, Roha, Shama, Sid, Kenu, Shalom, Rapha, Jireh, Mikadesh. He is all those things. He is Jehovah God. So he cries out and he says, Lord, I want you to consider me. Look at me. Now he's gazing on God and focusing on God. And do you ever realize that when you begin to focus on God, you can't see the enemy. I mean, you may have peripheral vision, but when you get tunnel vision on God, you don't see the other things around you. And that's where God wants us to get. Now you're talking. Now you just focus in on me. I know you've been waiting, but now you done got it off your chest. I know how you feel. Now I know you're serious. Now I have your undivided attention. And now we can have a one-on-one talk. As we say, it's time for us to have a Jesus meeting when you want to get something out. And so he's considering it. And look, and so now David had come to this place where he wanted God to help. And he said, God, if you don't help me through this, I'm going to be in trouble. If you don't enlighten my eyes and give me wisdom, my enemy is going to say I prevail against him. And I'm going to break it down. Now, God, if you let this thing happen to me, them folk going to talk about not just me. They're going to talk about you. I'm putting this thing back on you now. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but they're going to talk about you, Lord. And then those that trouble me, they're going to rejoice. They were supposed to be serving that almighty God. Look what he let happen to them. Ha, 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 he, he, he. And they just go, and they laughing at you. That's what he's saying, God, don't let that happen. But here I see he's considering God now. He's crying out for the light of God. And now look at this transformation here. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Look at the transformation. Old school would say it like this. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cried out. See, David here says, but I have trusted. And I look at this from this perspective that I have trusted before. And so what happens is when we're going through some things, we tend to forget about what God has done for us in the past. And I believe here David is reflecting and remembering back in the day when he slew Goliath and back in the day when he killed the lion and the bear. He's like, hold up. Wait a minute now. I'm here crying out, but this God that I serve enabled me by way of his Holy Spirit to do all these things. Wait a minute. Let me just think of the goodness of my God. And it just brings to mind a passage of scripture. He said, I had almost fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He has changed now. He's gotten it off of his chest. He's crying out to God for enlightenment. And now that he's gone closer to God and he begins to remember how good God has been. He says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. What salvation? David is remembering not only how he has delivered him in the past, but he's even looking towards the future for eternal salvation. Thy salvation that is eternally mine, but how you've always delivered me. And so now, you know, when you start thinking about, wait a minute now. God was good. Back in the day, oh, he did. I'm going to make it real plain for y'all. She probably going to get mad at me, but I got, y'all know I have to get realistic pictures here. Now, I'm going to tell you how David looked at this thing. Sometimes, you know, you have some disagreements and things don't always go your way and you wonder, but when you think about it, it's like, I go put in that wedding CD, no matter how I feel. But when I go back, and I see them doors open and that white dress coming and she walking down that aisle, I forget about all those other troubles. See, I get to remembering and reflecting, and that's what happens when we do that with God and we start remembering and say, wait a minute, this ain't that bad after all, because I got a God who is able. I got a God who is able to just move mountains and move things out of the way. And that's what David said. He said, I'm going to rejoice. And see, now, verse 6, he says, now I'm going to sing unto the Lord. See, in the beginning, we had somebody who was crying out to God, pleading with God, thinking God had forgotten about him. But then when he went in and considered and he understood how God moved in the past, now he said, I'm going to sing right now. What am I telling you right now? You ought to just get up and start praising God right now. You just need to start rejoicing with him. He says, I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. I'm going to sing because God is a good God. And all we just say, yes, he is. See, you begin to remember that he's brought you from a mighty long way. No matter what the struggle is, no matter how you feel, if you think God has left you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there. And David is now saying, I'm going to rejoice right now. We always sing this song, I'm going to dance like David. I believe in his mind right there. He was dancing out of his clothes because he understood that I don't have to stay where I am. I can praise and pray myself out of a situation. He said, my mourning and my hard time is going to be turned to joy because all I have to do is just give God the praise. Mm-hmm. And see, David just showed us right now, if you're going through, just talk to God real good. Get it off of your chest. Put it on his plate. Because if it's on his plate and not yours, you don't have to deal with it. And when you get light, you can get caught up in praise. You can give a real good praise. You don't need any music to give that kind of praise. You can walk around the house and just sing a new song. I make up songs when I'm praising. I ain't never heard it nowhere else. But I say, Lord, I got a new song. I'm a singing. I'm singing in the shower. I walk around the house. Ain't nobody else there. I ain't got to worry about it. It's just me and the Lord. I may have on a towel, but I take it off and dance like David because I understand that God is a good God. I'm only telling you what I know. Oh, Jesus. So like David, if you're going through and you're in trouble and you're in despair and it seems desperate, and you think God has forgotten about you, your man and your back is up against the wall and you don't know what to do, just tell God about it. And tell him about it. Get it off your chest. And then when you get it off your chest, just reflect and remember. He said, I remember one time I ain't had no money. And he came through. What am I worried about this time? He did it before. He can do it again. And then you just move from a state of reflecting and remembering to rejoicing and watch God move. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Praise be to God Almighty. Is there anyone here today that does not know God as your Lord and your Savior, and you need to be saved, and you want us to pray with you? Please come. Don't let a day go by without knowing who God is and without letting him be Lord of your life. If there's anybody that needs prayer for themselves or they want to stand in the gap for someone else, come.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Yeah. It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. We Global, BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome. Yeah.